We are Brightside Happy 4th of July, home theater nerds. Welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast. The home theater podcast, it's all about the experiences. The sights. Look at those sights.
The sounds?
The sounds, yeah. We got to fill in for him this week. But, oh, man, full screen and the scenes, Steve. And you're bringing the sights and the scenes this week. Look at you all dressed up. At least it's your, you know, it's your country's colors, too.
Well, theoretically, this is just to prove that we don't bear a grudge.
It looks fantastic.
Hey, man. This is the very best, i.e. cheapest, that Amazon could do in such a short space of time. So, you know, I thought it appropriate. I'm disappointed in you, though, Deej. Disappointed. Why? Look, this is our first 4th of July show. Okay, at least that I've been part of. And I kind of expected you to walk on with a big kind of, you know, Stars and Stripes hat singing Living in America, you know, very kind of Rocky IV special. And you haven't. And I'm frankly disappointed.
No, I know. Obviously, we're sitting here and it is the 4th of July, but usually that's one of the things we don't do here. It's like we're not very good at. It's like, say the show dropped on the 4th of July. We're not very good at that because it would be Tuesday and we're like, hey, it's Tuesday. And then when it drops but then you listen to all these other shows and they're like, they're really good at like putting themselves in that day. We're not. And we're actually in the day and I'm like, okay, I got to put my shirt on because I'm heading out after this to head to someplace, but, I'll have to write it in my notes, with the pen and,
absolutely.
Just to jump back to that again, because I wanted to jump back to this very quickly because I put this all together last week. As we know, this beautiful pen, it's a pen. It's also a stylus. It's a light. It's a phone stand. But because I was in such a hurry last week, I just threw that image on there. But now we have an updated image for what you might want to watch on your phone.
Oh, well, obviously, Lucy, of course it should be. Yeah, what else would you watch it like, on?
Exactly. That's, I mean, we have history there, a lot of history there. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I figured that would make it more appropriate. So how's your week been? Hi, John, if you're watching at home, I know you're working and John has to work. And then he's got to get home. He's actually hosting a barbecue at his house. So, you know, John is unable to join us. And that's why we moved it up because we were going to start normally at 5 and maybe he could have been done, but that wasn't a possibility. So we moved it up. So now I can actually get out and get to my barbecue that I'm heading to right after this one. So,
yep. And it's a daytime show for me. Pretty cool and very unusual.
Yeah, light out. I see the sun behind you there. Yeah.
And well, it's pouring with rain, but at least it's daylight. And what is good news is that for once, I'll be in a rush to get to dinner rather than you guys. So, you know, that's what normally happens. You guys are anxious to get your food. I can hear, you know, Jen and Lydia knocking on the door, like demanding that you come out for dinner. And, but this week it'll be me.
Yeah, exactly. So, this is going to be fun. I'm kind of flying by the seat of my pants here. I got the images and everything like that, but we got a lot to get to. We got a ton. Yeah. We're not going to get to all of, we have so many listener comments. We've got some, what do we got? 7 movies coming on Tuesday that we'll talk about. And we've got some shows. I know we've all seen, you know, the latest Indiana Jones movie. We'll talk about it again next week with John, but we'll give our impressions, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. We got some other good ones. Oh, the Apple TV Plus. I can't wait to talk to you about that because, that's going to be fun. That's that one there. We'll get to that in a little bit, but Hijack, that should be fun. Yeah, it's like, you're so fun. You crack me up. And it's like, I love, This sounds weird. I love having you on this show because without you, it's just too bright around here. We need you to bring us down. I love your, like, the things you go negative about. You're like, but you liked it over there. It's like, yeah, and well, you're a big fan of horror, which is like everything gets thrown out of the window there. But then you're like, but that was filmed in Spain. That's my favorite one, if you can't tell. It's so funny. I love it. But we all do it. We all do it in different things, right? Mm. And it's little things will irk us. You just have a bunch.
I just need my disbelief suspended. And that's what I need. And if you can do that, right. I don't really necessarily even need it to be done in a terribly clever way. Just acknowledge it. And then we're fine. And then I can get beyond that and it's okay. And for Hijack, which we will talk about in a bit, my disbelief was not suspended for very long at all. And I was sometime after thinking about five different ways at least that I could have done it in an easier way, in a better way. But we'll get to that.
You just can't enjoy it, can you?
Oh, man, I want to.
Well, and it's funny because you and I have talked about this off air, on air, Takeover Tuesdays and stuff. We're very like-minded in that, and we analyze. But you're the lawyer in you is just, and I have a little of that too. I'll go back and I'll be like, no. But when I get into my theater, I truly do leave my brain at the door. And it's just very, I just can't stop enjoying, right? It's like I'm there to, and I think that's the artist part of me, because I always put myself in the director, the actor, the writer, the sound guy. I'm always thinking all of these artists worked so hard at this, and for me to go, well, it is fun to pick, like, there shouldn't be tires screeching there, those are fun things, but it never takes me out of the movie. You know, even like Moonfall. It's like,
hey, I like Moonfall. I'm all right with Moonfall.
I know. And that's why I say, I'm like, the irony is, like, you'll love some things and then other things you're like, this is so much closer to realism. And I think maybe it just dawned on me now. Maybe that's what it is for you, where it's like, if it's so close to being grounded, you can't go like a half inch away from grounded. You need to either go all the way away, like Moonfall or horror, or hyper-realistic. It's got to be realistic because you can't separate that little bit, right?
Yeah. It's something like that. I can go to 323 degrees, but not 320 degrees. That's when we struggle to really go for Hijack special.
Before you even said, I was like, it's 380, but I get what he's saying now.
So don't go for 323 degrees, go for 359.
Exactly. It's so funny. We got some comments in the chat here. Let's get to these about Paul Hurt. Did you get to hear any of today's?
Yeah, I did. You did? However, I did. I listened to about half an hour of it, but then I had to stop. And the reason I had to stop is because I was driving, and Paul has a very soothing voice and a very calming voice.
He's got your damn accent, you dummy. I know what
it is. Well, he has. But also, he's got a very cool microphone as well. So he's very smooth when he talks. And I was getting a little sleepy. And I don't mean because he wasn't saying anything that wasn't enjoyable. It's just that when that sort of soothing thing as you're operating heavy machinery is asking for trouble. So I had to stop.
We've been working on that one for anybody watching. Watching on Twitter, watching on YouTube, on either. Hey, Mikey, in the chat, whatever. If you're not familiar with our audio only podcast, there is a audio only podcast. These show up there as well, but on Tuesdays we do Takeover Tuesdays, and this week Paul literally took over. I mean, he, for the last few weeks, he took over, and it was, as I said in the show, I was ready when we had this idea talking about reference level and the idea of what reference level was. He had an idea of, we're wrong. Okay. And we need to investigate this. And I was like, great, let's do a show. That's me. Jump first, figure it out on your way down. Oh crap, I forgot my chute. Yell back, they'll throw me one. That's how I deal with it. And Paul's like, no, I want some time. He was willing to come on. He goes, but maybe we'd have to revisit. And he goes, but I'd love to investigate more. And investigate more he did. And then we were actually supposed to record last week, and we had a couple of issues technically. And he's like, we had to push it to Monday. And he goes, that gives me more time to investigate. So he did a lot of work. Thank you, Paul, who is in the chat. But if you haven't heard this and you are listening to this or watching this, go listen to that. Because if you're watching us right now, you're a big fan of home theater and you're a big fan of accuracy. And that podcast will change how you think of reference level. So what did you think, Steve? Did you get far enough in before you fell asleep?
I didn't fall asleep. But it was just so soothing and relaxing.
Isn't it?
It was about 30 minutes or so in. So you guys were kind of discussing the intricacies of compression and reference stuff. And that, and then, as I said, it was as interesting as it was. I was, soothed. And I think Paul has missed his calling. We now have a replacement for David Attenborough when he finally stops doing this. The next Planet Earth. I think Paul needs to be narrating that, and we'll all be good. So yeah, so what I listened to was interesting and stuff I didn't know. I mean, as you know, DJ, I'm not the most technical of people. And so some of it was kind of, it was a little over my head, and then you guys were explaining it. So that was good. So yeah, I will go back and listen to it, and absorb it all when I'm not, as I said, in danger of running anyone over or falling asleep. Cause that would be bad.
Yeah. So Scruffy in the chat here says Paul, because Paul is in the chat, he says, is a mix poorly done when you're constantly raising and lowering the volume depending on someone talking versus a scene with action? And what we discuss, I'll leave that up, sorry. What we were discussing in the podcast is that's what happens sometimes if you're in a room and you're watching a movie in your theater and there's more ambient sound. Sometimes you are raising and lowering the volume because if the you can only listen so loud in your room. So that action scene comes on and you turn it down because that's just way too loud. Right. And then now the dialogue comes along and you're like, oh my God, I can't hear it because I've turned it down. And it's like, so you're going back and forth. And it's not necessarily that the mix is poorly done. It's a combination of your room acoustics that's not allowing you to survive that burn. And then also listen to the finer scenes, the quieter scenes, which is something that Paul and I talk about much later in the podcast. It's a 3-hour podcast. And he kept apologizing after we were done recording. And I'm like, Paul, no, I'm like, it's information. There's tons of information all the way through. As PK said in the, on Twitter this morning, he's like, super informative. And it's probably the first Takeover Tuesday where we only talk about one subject and it is literally 3 hours and we break it down pretty good. But what I was saying is towards the end, we talk about like when you build a dedicated room, you're trying to get it as quiet as possible for yourself in the room, but it's also to eliminate exterior sounds. And the more you can eliminate and lower the noise floor in your room, the softer you can play, the better it is, easier it is to hear those quieter sounds. So it's a combination of everything. It's not necessarily the mix. Because we also said a more poorly mixed track, Scruffy, would be a track that actually the audio is raised and then, the audio is raised and then the loud sounds are brought down and everything's consistent. So you can hear everything perfectly, but now you don't have those nice dynamics, those peaks of sound and those valleys of tension, quiet. You want that back and forth. You don't want the guy's voice to sound just as loud as the explosion. And meaning, so that could mean either the dialogue is really loud or the explosions just aren't really punchy. So you want dynamics for an experience, But at the same time, you want to be able to handle it so you don't have to raise and lower your volume. That's just one of the topics, but great question, Scruffy. Great. It is a good question because this is going to create a lot of confusion. But I think what I loved about it, and this is, and like I said, Paul was leading up to this the last few weeks. He's like, this is going to be tough. And I go, but we have answers. It's confusing, but once you understand it, it's going to be confusing until you can implement this and understand what the answers are. And the fact that it was like, I'm not just taking somebody's word for it anymore, that it's like, oh yeah, you know, on my dial minus zero, that's reference. No, now I have facts on what reference is and how you get there and what it means. And it's really, really cool. So I mean, like I said, take over Tuesday and Paul took over. And he's the expert to do it. So it was fantastic.
That's Paul's response.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Thanks, buddy. And in all this, I can't wait. He said one little nugget in there, one little nugget. And I'm going to take him up on it, Paul. I'm going to take you up on it, buddy. He's like, oh, yeah, off air, we'll work on your audio for your podcast. I was like, yes, finally. Oh, like I'll just stop.
What's wrong with it?
I'm a perfectionist and I just, I would love to be able to get it right, simplify it. So I know, much like what I'm doing in my theater now, I love that I know that that's right. Reference level is right. Right. So it's simple to me. It's done. I'll do all the work I need to do to simplify it, whatever it is. But just, I want it right too. I don't want to, I'm not the type of person, and I don't think you are, Steve, either, or any of us listening, because we love the details here in home theater and stuff, but I don't want simple and bad. Like there's a simple way to do it. Like when you say, oh, I just Mickey Moused it because I wanted to get it done quick. No. I might want to get it done quick, but I'm going to learn to do it quick. You know what I mean? Like the better you are at something, the faster you can do it. And that's what I want to do. So Paul says, just not Tomorrow War dynamics. And we did talk about that too. And I actually like Tomorrow War and I love the sound.
I really like that film. Yeah. And the bass level on that is great.
Yeah.
You're from the but opening it is. It's a few minutes.
Yeah. And that's another one of the things he goes through and he names a bunch of movies where he tested the scenes with an SPL meter. And he's like, the dialogue was at this, and then the action was at this, and you can see the dynamic range in different movies. And I think Tomorrow War was the one that he said it was just, it was insanely far apart, which is great. That's a great peak, but you have to, that makes it more difficult in the greater the peak, the better the room has to be able to handle something like that, because you're just going to be like, whoa, that's too loud. Or in the now I can't hear the dialogue. So there's so many variables.
And it's not uncommon when you're reading a review or listening to a review that someone says, oh, I had to tweak the center channel. You know, I bumped that up a few here and there. And you're always thinking that seems weird. And that seems like a strange thing to do. And if you're doing that routinely, how do you ever know what it should be? I always thought that was odd. I've never thought about doing that. Never even entertained it. I'd rather bump it up and down if I had to do that. Not that I ever have either. I mean, I didn't have to with Tomorrow War. I love the dynamics in that. I thought that was great. Again, every room is different and our experience and tolerances for this stuff is different.
Our hearing is different.
Yeah.
Everything is different. We're all different. Awesome. Good one, Steve. Look at you on the ball. No, but our hearing is different. Our opinions of what we hear is different. It could be the exact same tone. And that's another thing. Believe me, it's a 3-hour podcast. I'm not giving it all away. What was super interesting was the perception of 85 dB in the different size rooms. And there was research done on it. And Paul, he sifted it all out and we talked about it. And it's like, there's a reason that's basically the biggest reason why reference level is what it is in a home theater. So it's awesome. It's awesome. I had so much fun talking about it. I can't wait to, I'm hoping people give us good, bad response. I mean, anything, because like if people want to push back and they say it's wrong, that's fine. But we have documentation here. We have numbers. We have, this is what is happening. This isn't made up off of the top of Paul's head. It's not, I mean, it literally was like, it came about when we talk about it from hearing other podcasts and we're like, wait a minute, something's not right here. And then Paul was like, let's look into this. So, you know, I'm, like when you were a kid, if you ever had to do a report and just get up in front of the class and do your, you know, oral report, you were always nervous if you weren't prepared, if you didn't have the answers, if you didn't know. But for me, when I got in front of everybody and I knew my stuff inside and out, I was like, let's go. That's how I feel with reference level. And it's like, we have the information. So you're going to push back on me? Let's go. Because I got the information. You might not like the answer, but guess what? I got one and I'm sticking by it until somebody can prove me wrong. And it doesn't mean you can't, but you're going to have to come with more than, I don't think you're right. Okay. You need more than that, buddy. So.
I think you're, right. I'm getting vibes of the opening of Troy, where you've got the king who's bringing out his champion, and you know, one of them brings out the big guy, then the other one brings out Brad Pitt as Achilles, and I think Paul Hurt is your Achilles, not Achilles heel, but your Achilles.
No. Oh yeah, yeah. Don't shoot him in the ankle. Oh, all right. Let's move off of that Takeover Tuesday. Go back and hear that. Listen to that Takeover Tuesday, the audio only podcast. And yeah, we'll talk about that more, I'm sure, coming up. Let's see. Maybe even tomorrow. Listen later on news on that. But let's get to this first. We like to push stuff to the front of the show where people do something fun for the Brightside Home Theater. So we have this. You want to read that, Steve?
Yeah. I've not seen this one. Okay. So this is, So, it says, got my shirt, DJ, bloody awesome and a great fit. Now, again, it says g'day, DJ. So I'm wondering if it's Aussie, but we'll see how we go. That's so it says, g'day, DJ, loving my new Brightside Home Theater t-shirt. We'll be wearing it with pride around Las Vegas, but you know what would really go well with it is a pen. Thanks again. Loving the show. BR, best regards.
Maybe. BR? Yeah, I wasn't Andrew. Sure on that either. Yeah. Andrew. Yeah. And he sent the picture along as well. And I'm like, fantastic. It is like, I'll work on that pen. I might have some of them lying around here somewhere. I don't know.
Box of them.
I got a couple boxes of them now. My second shipment came in. Yeah, thanks, Andrew. Really appreciate that. That's awesome. Great picture. Now you have to get out there and write in about all the comments you get.
Yeah, and, around Vegas.
Yeah, head to the Dominican, see if anybody wants to talk to you and knows who Bright. That's what was amazing. That blows me away. Mikey Schramm and like people, I listen to that too. So cool. So,
although I don't know, DJ, I think Mike might have just blotted his copybook a little bit. Look at the state of this. Well, now I want to stop watching.
Stop watching this and go listen to Takeover Tuesday. And it's like, I was going to put that up as well. And I'm like, it cracks me up. But I'm like, I don't blame you. But this is live, Mike. This is live. Yeah, you know, that's direct. Recorded. It's practically live because we literally recorded it last night. So had that was an adventure. Nerdy Legion went down last night.
Because of you?
I was up. That's what I said to Martin. I'm like, he sent me pictures of code that he had to go through to figure it out. And I go, just get to the line that says it's DJ's fault. But we worked it out and I got it out. I got it out in time. I actually got it out early. I wasn't messing around. I was just like, get this out now. Cause I didn't want it's always, and I said to my wife, I'm pacing. I'm trying to work with Martin. I'm doing all this stuff. And I had to produce the show, do the show, and then get it posted. And then Nerdy Legion goes, nothing. I was like, oh no, the network went down. And I'm like, how do I get this out? So And I said to my wife, she goes, why are you so nervous and upset? And I go, I really want people to hear this one. And I'm like, I know they're all important, but this one feels important. And I'm like, but I feel like that about every single one. And that's what I said to her. I'm like, it's always like, this is the one. It's always the next one, you know, like Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. What's the best one? The next one. So, but this is the best one right now, Steve and Mike. Oh, well, so stay here. This is the best one. This is live. This is here. Yep. I'm still here. Yeah. This is fun. You highlighting them because I'm like, oh, look at that. Yeah. All right.
And Paul does say, to be fair, it'll still be there when DJ and Steve are done. Yeah. It's mildly passive aggressive, Paul, but that's fine. When you say done. When they're done. All right, Charlie.
When we're done. When we're done. Yep. So no boxes of popcorn this week. We just had the, you know, buying a t-shirt that does support the show. And but that's a great way to do it. And it, you know, and you get to make new friends too when you do it that way.
We're very big in Central and Southern America.
Yes, apparently. Well, people from the America that go there. All right. You ready to get to our experiences? Do we have anything else to chit-chat about?
No, I think we're up to speed.
All right. I'm also checking the chat because I want to see if John pops in and says hi. All right.
He's knee-deep in hot dogs and pasta.
Oh, you know, he's an hour behind me. Yeah, he does eat that for breakfast, so okay. All right. Let's get to our real HD experiences. All righty. 4th of July. No fancy banners for... Well, this is real HD experiences, and you have 4K coming up next, but let's keep the 4th of July theme going in the bottom right corner. Let's see. Well, Steve, let's start with this one first. This is a nice, easy one for you. Yeah. What did you think?
So this is Hard Target in 4K HDR with DTS Master Audio 5.1. Now, I know you've seen it, Deej, because everybody's seen it. When was the last time you saw it?
Long time ago. That's why I'm really excited to hear about this.
Now I'm the same. Now I've seen this film more times than is decent. And yet I haven't seen it for a very, very, very long time. I never owned the Blu-ray. The last time I had it would have been DVD. So we're talking probably, I don't know, 10 years or so maybe before I've seen it since I last saw it. And I always remember enjoying the movie. I remember thinking it was good and good fun, but it turns out had forgotten just how much of an absolute riot this movie is in the best way. I had a great time rewatching this. Yeah, I really did. And I was expecting a bit of Bloodsport style cheese and it being a pretty rubbish is what I sort of thought. As much as I, again, lovable rubbish, exactly like Bloodsport. You know, it's so crap, it's good.
Yeah.
And yet I had a great time with it. It still holds up. It's still really good fun and loads of it I had forgotten. And of course, it's a John Woo movie, which means that it was shot well and shot in a good way and is still very, very good indeed. So I definitely recommend rewatching this for the movie. So then let's talk the home theater side of it.
For the movie.
That's for the movie. Yeah. Well, for the film.
Yeah. No, that's great.
So then the video. Now the video on this is interesting because it's how to describe it. Now it was a low budget movie when it was shot. So it's quite, and of course, again, it's a John Woo movie. So there's loads of slow motion and there's lots of kind of unusual effects going on, but the 4K disc is really, really nice. There are some fantastic close-ups of Van Damme. I mean, mullet aside, let's ignore the horrendous hair. But the
I know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Was this the first one where he did that? It was like, wasn't this like the it was like Cruise in Mission Impossible 2 with the long hair, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But
I think so. And it is preposterously awful hair.
Yeah.
But the close-ups on his face, and there are a number of them, and I took a few pictures for Twitter and then I never posted them, but they are they are really detailed. Every little pock mark, every little pore, every bit on it, the stubble that you can see in that still there is clear as anything. It looks really, really nice. The reason I didn't post the photos is the HDR in it, which again is also surprisingly strong, means that when you try and take photos on a phone, you get the blooming and it looks weird. And so I just thought, well, I won't post those because people will get the wrong idea. So the HDR has a real impact on it. It makes it all look really, really good. So video, really good. So film, great. Video, really nice for a movie this old. And then the audio. So upmixed to Neuralex. And it is surprisingly good. It starts off with a rainstorm. It begins with a sort of first person perspective shot of a guy who's walking, who's being hunted, and it's in a rainstorm. And again, you've got all the rain overhead. You can hear thunder in the background. There's movement all around. And it's a John Woo movie once more. So lots of gunplay, lots of kind of slow motion, bit silly looking kicking and fighting, but still. And it sounds really good. And so this is a cheaper film because it's an older one. It was $19.99 here. So it would be what, $23, $24 over there. Although it's been out there longer than it has here. It only came out here last week. So you'd be able to pick it up for a decent price. And if you can find it for a decent price and you like the movie, get it. You'd be really, really pleased that you did. So I was pleasantly surprised by this. More than I thought I would be. Have you got the Kaleidoscape version, Deej, or is it not?
No, it's only in HD on Kaleidoscape.
Okay.
And I mean, I'm sure the audio is just as good. It has the DTS, just the master audio. Let me see, audio tracks. Yeah, DTS master audio 5.1.
You do want to get the 4K. You do want to pick it up. You know, I think you'll be pleased you did. And again, you're with these kinds of movies, you know, you're very much like me with these guilty pleasures that you just kind of got to have. And when it's been given a polish like this has, even as ridiculous as it is, it's well worth picking up. And again, as with Bloodsport, as we talked about before, you know, someone comes around and says, oh my God, Hard Target. Oh, I haven't seen that in years. That you would put this on in demo and say, right, just check this out. And they, you know, they'll be very, very pleasantly surprised, I'm sure. You can't criticize this disc sensibly, I don't think. I don't know about the dynamics, Paul, but otherwise it's really good.
Yeah. No, I think we're going to get into a lot of that in the coming weeks about dynamics and stuff. I actually almost bought it in HD, but I do want to see the 4K version. I want to experience that. It's because there is a difference. Especially how was this mixed or how was this made? Do you remember on Blu-ray?
I never owned the Blu-ray. I only had the DVD.
No. I mean, like when they did they upmix it from 4K? How did they get the 4K?
I think it's a native 4K intermediate.
I think it is. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I can't even. Hard. Who did Hard? Oh, there it is. Boom. Didn't come up.
Universal. It's a universal
native
movie.
4K. It's a native 4K.
Yeah.
5.1. Kino Lorber. So that definitely won't be coming. So let's do this right. Yeah, it's $27 on Amazon right now. $27.54.
Again, it's been out there for a while. I'm surprised it's still so expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it's...
Let me just grab it for those that are over here a sec.
Yeah.
Right, here we go. So here it's a Universal release and it's a Universal movie, so we actually get it directly from the studio over here. It's the same version, and it must be 4K, a native 4K disc, because of the quality of it. I mean, it looks too good to be an upscale. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, here it is. So you got, let me zoom in a bit on that, get rid of that.
That's not in Hard Target, that bit.
All right, let's see. When will I be getting it? Blu-ray, DVD, 4K. Blu-ray, 4K, HD. There we go.
Yeah, if there's anybody else in the chat whilst Deej is just doing his shopping.
Yeah,
if there's anybody else, anyone else in the chat that has it,
I'll get it after the show.
Let me know. Let me know what you think of it if you've got it in the chat and you've seen it. Because as I said, it's been out there for a couple of months, I think, if not more. Mm. So I nearly imported it a couple of times. But then I thought, well, I'll wait and see. And sure enough, then it's hit here. And it's a lot cheaper than that here. I definitely recommend it. Again, it is another one of our ongoing martial art movie revisits. It's well worth it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, he's fun anyways.
Yeah. Paul says this is that's the Broadway version of Hard Target that was just on there.
Yeah, exactly.
For those that were listening, there was a small, as Deej was doing his shopping, there was a little video running which had people dancing on stage.
In the bottom corner. And I was like, how do I get rid of that? No. So, all right. Let's get to this one here that I wanted to do last week. Ooh, yeah. Oh, man. Mission Impossible 2 on Kaleidoscape in, DTS Master Audio, but it's in 4K, but at the 5.1, the way we upmix it, again, that's a whole other podcast about how these things are done and, everything like that. But the upmixing that we're getting is we've talked about it how many times, Steve, on how good the upmixing is. And it's like, it's almost indistinguishable between that and an actual object-based track. No?
Hmm. I had an experience last night where I thought I was watching it, a film, which we'll talk about next week, but in 7.1 DTS HD, and it was in Atmos. And I didn't realize until afterwards. And in fact, it was in Atmos. Okay. And I thought it was 7.1 DTS HD MA. And it was a Twitter follower of mine that said, actually, I think you'll find it's in Atmos. And then I looked at it. I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. Sure enough. Okay. Fine. So I couldn't tell the difference other than I love the track. It definitely is harder, and it's getting harder and harder to tell, which is great news for all of us, isn't it?
Right. And that's, and again, Paul and I talk a little bit about that in a different aspect, but the processing power that our, receivers, pre-pros have, that now they're able to do this, basically turn something into an object-based system on the fly, because they're taking the information that is in a 5.1 and it's analyzing it and putting it out like, oh, this sound should probably be coming from overhead, because all the speakers are doing this to try and give you that without the overhead speakers. So they already know. I mean, it's amazing what they're doing. So anyways, let's get to the movie. Mission Impossible 2. I kind of let this one slip last week because I kind of confused the two when you talked about the theme music. Did you catch that?
A little bit. Yeah,
I said Limp Bizkit, and I was like, yeah, Limp Bizkit. Oh, wait a minute. That's the next one. And we never got to this movie. But that music, the beginning of this movie, when I push play on this and you got that, the mountain climbing that he's doing at the beginning, the quietness. I mean, I just went right back to, what was this? 2000, something like that. 2000. I was into climbing. I was into this. I was into those sunglasses. Oh my God. I had a pair. And honestly, while I was watching the movie, I went online to try and buy a pair. They're like $900 now.
Jeez.
To try and get that same pair of Oakleys.
Yeah.
And Steve, do you know how many times I almost pushed on that? I was like, buy now?
I was going to say, how many of them did you buy?
Well, none have shown up yet, so I didn't accidentally hit the button. But I'm like, I just love that, all of that stuff. It's just, I mean, it just brings you back. When this came, I was 30 years old. I was just a kid, Steve, just a kid. And I was loved it. And then when they get into that music hits from Limp Bizkit, where they do the theme music, but they do it with their, and it's a completely different song, but it has that Mission Impossible music in the back, and it's, oh my God. And I loved it. And then little side story afterwards, I said to my wife, I took my car out, my Mazda, and I was like, don't listen to that song, because I put it on my phone and I went out and I don't listen to that and drive.
No.
John knows what I'm talking about, but don't listen. I was like, oh my God, had someone might have fractured a speed limiter too.
Yeah. As your lawyer, I'd have to advise against it.
Yeah. Well, it's all right to do. Just don't admit it publicly on a podcast.
Yeah. Oops.
So picture again, this is just like Mission Impossible. Beautiful, vibrant, rich colors, deep black, crisp skin tones, textures, awesome details. And it really comes into effect here with John Woo, with the slow motion and the wind and all of that. Mm. And then you get into the sound and the wind throughout this movie. Oh,
what were you going to say? We realize that we've just done Hard Target, and now we're doing this, two John Woo films in a row.
Yeah. Well, and that's the hair. But that's what I was going to say when we got to this. That's, I guarantee you, that's why they had the hair. Both of them. Because when you go into slow motion, you're like, all right. Because look at the Mission Impossibles on either side, 1 and 3. He's got the short haircuts. Well, John Woo's like, I need you to leave. And I'm like, you're watching this. And it's like, every scene is like this. It's like Tom Cruise is like, all right, we've got to head to Dubai. And it'll be like, it's a slow motion leave. And you're like, but you got to watch the hair flow behind. It's like, it's crazy. You know, I don't think they went to Dubai in this, but I just made something up. But
yeah, it's all of those.
Yeah, that's true. All of those slow motion shots are all like accentuated by that hair. And that's not a coincidence that the two people have, you know, the two actors had long hair in these movies. Really, really cool. Really enjoyed it. I haven't been able to get to 3 yet because I've had a lot more fun doing other things this week. Lots of stuff we have. I watched this a couple weeks ago. So, the title effect at the 10 minutes, 40 seconds, cool title effect. Mission Impossible explodes into little pieces. It's pretty cool. Almost looks 3D. Really does. And that's 10 minutes into the movie, because we had the whole mountain climbing scene. Let's see. The sound, like I said, very active, lots of detail, dynamic, great use of the whole room, tons of ambience, lots of ambience. Score. The score starts at the front, but then moves across the stage and then moves into the room, especially during the many slow motion scenes. Really, I mean, that you get the, it starts quietly, then comes at you. Lots of wind sounds all around you all the way through this movie. Like I just said, side channels, rear channels, up mixed to the overheads. Any scene of like dialogue where they're like concentrating and talking, just listen around you. Take a walk around the room and listen to your channels. And it's like, you know, John Woo special. It's like, you know, all over the place. Fantastic. One hour, 16 minutes and 20 seconds. There's a whooshing sound around the room as, Ethan spins for cover. And I'm trying to remember the exact scene, but he does a spin. Like he almost like bends over in his arms and legs and he spins, but there's this whooshing sound that, in real life, it would never happen, but it's just such a cool effect, and it just spins you right around your room. Really, really cool. 1 hour, 23 minutes, an explosion sweeps to the rear of the room, and it starts at the front, leaning to the left, and then it comes over you and sweeps back to the right rear like the sound of an explosion would. You know what I mean? You boom, and then it was like, and then you can hear it roll and then go to the right rear. Really, really cool. And then at 1:34:15, really nice detail in an explosion. But it's what I really liked about it is it was the bad guy. They focused in and you could see the reflection of the explosion in his eyes. Oh. And that just looked, check that out, 1:34:15, and you'll see, and it's awesome. And then 1:40:20 is, my title on it is Limp Bizkit. It's just, it's the theme music, and it starts loud and proud and moves into the room. Bass notes were great, and it, it just played fantastically all the way through. And then we get into the, you know, that famous motorcycle chase scene and everything, which you had alluded to, I think a few weeks ago about the tires, the
changing tires. Yeah.
The changing tires. It gets really bad. I mean, it's actually, I didn't even remember you said it until they went off road. And then when they're off road, it's, there's like, I think three, I counted three different tire types, and it's like on the bikes, cause they had to do different things. I'm like, what are we doing here? But and if you hadn't said that, I don't think I would even have picked up on it, or maybe I would have, but I don't know. It's just, it is bad though. It is bad.
Yeah. Well, they do it in close up too. It's not like they're trying to, you know, medium shots, long shots. There's a shot of the bike and the camera is right behind the rear wheel.
They want you to see the tire.
Yeah. And then it cuts
Isn't it like a John Woo slow motion of a spinning rear tire kicking up the sand? So it's supposed to look beautiful, but it's got like 2-inch knobbies.
Exactly. Yeah. It's blatant. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like the paddle on the back of a, you know, a river boat.
A steamer.
Yeah. You're like, what the hell is going on? This is-
yeah. And you can almost imagine the production meeting. They're going, oh, I don't care. It'll look good.
Yeah.
We need the sand. We need the sand firing out the back, and we're going to have that. And the only way we're going to do that is with these off-road tires. Otherwise, it's just not going to happen. And of course, it's incredibly dangerous if you're using road tires off-road, or vice versa. As someone who knows from growing up in Spain again, when we used to ride bikes like that all the time.
I don't think that's
had a number of accidents.
We did that here, and it's not unique to Spain.
we had a road tire on the front of this one bike, and then an off-road tire on the back, and so it used to going around the corners, the back used to snake, and more than once I fell off and took a big chunk of meat out of my palm and everything else. don't do that, kids.
Yeah, this isn't bike riding lessons by Brightside Old Theater. I've done enough stupid stuff. I don't need to. Yeah, it's really fun. Really fun. Looking forward to getting to, I'm hoping at least 3 and 4, I should be able to, if I can get them all in before I go see. I'm actually seeing the latest one on Sunday. It comes out. We Walmart special. We get to see it on the 9th if you bought your tickets through Walmart. So, really excited for that. So it was a lot of fun. Looking forward to the others.
I'm most looking forward to seeing that of the three movies that apparently are going to save cinema this summer, of Oppenheimer, Barbie, and Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible is the one I'm most looking forward to seeing. And probably the only one of the three, wait for it, that I will see in the cinemas. I don't think I'm going to go and see Oppenheimer in the theaters. I'm still getting over my experience in IMAX of Dunkirk. And I detested that experiment. I've told you about that before in Cheltenham, not that far from here, about an hour from here. And there was the audio in that's the nearest IMAX screen to me. And I went on opening day and I thought, this is going to be brilliant. And I'd taken the day off work and I'm going to go and see it. And I was then assaulted for however long it is. What is it? 2 hours more or less. With the most, I mean, again, you talk about dynamics, the most ridiculous audio I have ever experienced in a theater, where the speaker cabinets were rattling, and it was ear splitting, and it was like it throughout. And I'm still not quite recovered from that. I didn't see Tenet in the cinema. I saw that in Cinema George. And I think I will probably do that with Oppenheimer. And again, this talk about this last explosion, the big thing that's going to be that they film for real. And so I imagine that's going to be something similar, and I'm not about to put myself through that again. So I think it might only be Mission Impossible that I go and see in theaters. Barbie, not that bothered about. Not surprisingly. And then Oppenheimer, I think I'll wait. So Mission Impossible, definitely.
I would recommend just avoiding the IMAX for Oppenheimer and seeing it in a regular, you know, a normal good theater, but I've said it before, said it in Takeover Tuesday with Paul. I'm like, I'm not a fan of IMAX. They mess with the, I think they crank the volume to like 11, but it raises everything and you're just, you can take away your dynamics when you raise so far up that you're raising the, you know, as we talk about, your dialogue goes so high that you're just like, it's just awful. I'm not a big fan of IMAX sound.
I mean, it's hard to convey it, terms of how atrociously awful it was. I mean, it's like sticking your head into a giant bell, Liberty Bell. That is, Independence Day. And someone banging with a hammer over the bell as hard as you can, just with ear splitting. I would say it was dangerous. I mean, I suspect everybody in there was suffering some sort of, hearing damage as a result of that. It was horrible. And so I don't know, but then again, the other side of me, I mean, Nolan loves IMAX, doesn't he? IMAX is his thing. And so again, I'm wondering then, okay, well, if I don't see it,
well,
in IMAX,
I think he likes filming in it. He loves to film in it. That's the part that he loves. The audio side, he's a big 5.1. Obviously, we all know that he won't go to object base. He's a big 5.1 fan, and I love that because it's not like I prefer one over the other. They're both extremely capable. I think a lot of people think Atmos or the object base has an audio ability that 5.1 doesn't have, and it's just not the case. It's probably easier for the artist to manipulate the sound around the room in object base now because of the way they can do it, but it still can be done in 5.1 and they'd been doing it. And that's what he likes to work in. So I think for him, the IMAX part is the picture and that's what he wants you to see. But because of the sound, I won't do that. I'll wait for it at home and enjoy it as a large, large format.
John is in the chat. Hi, John. Well-known John Thompson in the chat says, was it digital IMAX that I saw it in? I don't believe so. It was in Cheltenham. So I don't think it was digital. It was just deafening. An entirely different D word. It wouldn't have been an all singing, all dancing IMAX thing. I'm not going to say the name of the company because that's not fair on them because it's not good. But it was ear splittingly horrible. And it put me off it. I haven't seen an IMAX movie in IMAX since. And interestingly, we've got, Paul, Paul, friend of the show. I've heard of him, Deej.
He should do a Takeover Tuesday.
Hey, I've tried to get Adriano on.
I know.
Yeah.
It's close.
Yeah, we'll push him. We'll get him to it. So Paul says, I literally had my fingers in my ears for Wakanda Forever in IMAX. So how is this a thing? How is this being allowed to be propagated? I don't get why.
Listen to Takeover Tuesday and we talk about it. We talk about the competition, what people are trying to do. There's a nugget in there that I don't want to bring up here because I think, and it's an opinion, but we have documentation here on what's going on, the format wars, on the disc wars, all of that stuff. We get into it. There's a big nugget in there where I'm actually making a statement that most people would be like, okay, it might actually turn people off and be like, I'm unfollowing you. Steve, you might unfollow me. You might block me. That could happen. People would be like, It's funny because I can't wait for some pushback on it because you can't prove either way. No. So I'm just saying, I'm just raising a possibility. And when I do, you can't prove it that I'm wrong and I can't prove I'm right. But the same, and what I point out is that's just exactly it. Maybe we've just all been assuming the wrong thing.
But if it is about the format wars, if the idea here is IMAX is a level above, it is the ultimate, it's the supreme experience. If that's what they're saying, and IMAX would say it is, so if the idea is to lure you back to the cinema, loud, big screen, big audio, if it hurts, that's not going to work then. Is that surely is the antithesis of what they're trying to achieve. Cause they're not trying to lure you in and then hurt you.
No.
They're trying to lure you in and give you just an incredible experience. It's all about the experience. So, again, I mean, this is, again, people are saying, again, John, again, just says in the chat here, I don't rate any of the digital IMAX screen. All sound is set up in a bone standard way and is just loud. So in that case, so if that is what it is, and it's not just me, it would seem, then, and again, same with you, DJ, and obviously many others in the chat as well, then that's not going to work then, is it? That's not going to get people for to the you. Theaters. It'll keep you away.
It'll keep a certain segment away. Mm.
But is that what they just, want?
No. Just a guess. Mm. Just a guess here. Okay. We're, you know, let's workshop this. You need to separate yourself, right? Mm. What did you do when you were a kid in your car? You put in the biggest amps, the biggest everything, and you drove around irritating the neighborhood because if you were in your house with your windows closed, you could hear the car go by. Younger you are, the louder you like. You love that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. If you play to the younger demographic, you're going to get those people in there and you're going to love it, right? So that's a large demographic as well. As you get older, you get more refined, your ability to handle louder sounds. I don't necessarily think it goes, it diminishes. I think we realize I don't need it that loud to experience it the right way. So now that irritates me, right? Mm. We're outside the demographic they're shooting for. That's what I believe they're doing. Mm. Okay. Dolby, on the other hand, and it's, here we have TJ8311 saying, I think Dolby Cinema is too loud. Can't imagine IMAX. Dolby Cinema is loud, but all the dynamics are preserved. It is supposed to be. This is reference. Okay. So you're like, yeah, this is reference level. This is for a cinema. This is what you're supposed to hear. It's the closest you can get to being what is actually intended, but it is loud when it needs to be loud. Some people don't like that. Right. Mm. But home theater fans, people like ourselves, we at least want to get as close as we can. Now, I'd be willing to bet TJ here gets home and it's like, okay, that's too loud. I'm going to, for his liking, he's going to dial back from that a little bit and enjoy the dynamics that way. But you see what I mean? It's like, you can't come out with the exact same product as everybody else and say, how do you compete if it's the same thing? Mm-hmm. You don't care. I mean, it's going to be, you got to make yourself different and maybe appeal to a different demographic that is still fairly large. And I think that's what happens. Mm. So, you know,
yeah, but you and we've talked about, and I'm sure it would have been in the Takeover Tuesday, is that there is a difference between loud and quality audio.
Absolutely.
And the two are not the same thing. And so if IMAX again say, this is going to be the greatest thing ever, we're going to make this unmissable. You're going to have to come to the cinema and see this or theater. So making it loud doesn't make it good.
Right.
And I wonder if that's, and so what, some I don't people, get why they'd go with that and not the other.
We talk about that. Majority of the population, and this was what sparked all this. The music industry has done this, and we talk about that. The majority of the population thinks loud equals good. So that's the marketing campaign that and we get into that, and we assess that, you know, like maybe is it possible that the mastering of Blu-rays and 4Ks has slightly gone the direction that the music industry has gone. So there's a lot there. And it's like, and it's funny you said it doesn't mean quality. My favorite thing about quality isn't a definition. Mm-hmm. Okay. Quality is what something is, but you need more to define it. You can't say like, this is quality. What quality? Quality can be bad. You can have bad quality. You can have excellent quality. So just saying something is quality, we use it in that way. Like this is a quality disc because you assume you're understanding it, but the actual word quality, what is the quality of the disc? And then more information needs to be said for you to understand the actual quality. So that's all they're trying to do. And it's like, you know, and I learned this a long time ago in a marketing class where it was like McDonald's is a quality burger because you get a McDonald's burger here, or you get it in Europe, or you get it in California, you know what you're getting. Okay. IMAX, we all know what we're getting. You're not surprised when you go in there. That's what we're going to get. There might be a slight variation, but you understand the IMAX experience. We all do. Read the chat, talk to anybody in this forum. We understand that. Same with Dolby Cinema. That's what quality is like, you want consistent quality throughout. Whether it's good or bad is up to the beholder. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think IMAX is trying to do. We might not like it, but clearly there's a segment of the population that does. Otherwise they wouldn't still be in business.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it just seems strange. I just think that there is a way of getting that interest that those people through the door without hitting them over the head.
There are certain IMAX screens that do have better sound. I haven't experienced them. I've had listeners experience them. Carl, who's been in the chat before, he has told us he's been to tons of IMAX around the world. And he's like, there are a few that have Dolby Cinema type sound to them. Great quality sound. So it's not the blown out version, but those are few and far between. Most of what you expect is exactly what you expect from an IMAX. So,
yeah, which is why I will be skipping Oppenheimer more than likely in IMAX. We'll see. We'll see. IMAX, I might go and see it. Yeah.
I can't wait. Sorry, I'm not seeing an IMAX. I'm going to see it at my local theater. Can't wait. Really looking forward to it.
I'm curious about it. I'm just not champing at the bit to see it yesterday, you know, not like I was with Indy or anything like that. You know, this is one that I'm interested in it, but I'm not that fussed. And I know the reviews will all be 5 stars because it's Nolan and it tends to be. So I'll wait and see. Although if you, of course, tell me that it's got to be seen straight away, then that might change things. But otherwise, I'll give it a miss.
I feel like just from the trailers, I feel like this needs to be seen as a historical thing, because you think of what they did with that, the race. I think it's going to spark a lot of those conversations, right? And that it's like, I mean, should they have done it? Should they not have done it? If they don't do it, what happens? And I think that's what Nolan's going for here too, honestly. Mm. And that's why I think it's what, you know, home theater stuff aside, but I think the movie stuff, I think, is going to spark, no pun intended, a lot of conversations about, like, you know, like, is he actually a hero or is he a villain, you know, for what they did? And it's going to be your perspective. And now with the internet and the worldwide conversation that you can have, you're not just talking. And this isn't America is great or America did a dumb thing conversation. This is the impact on the world and what did this do, you know? And I think it's going to be a lot of fun to talk about just in that aspect. That's another reason I'm really looking forward to it, the historical part of it. So, and how he pulls that off.
Well, like I said, I'm curious. I'm hoping it's going to be good, but Mission Impossible, way better.
All right, let's get to
Cruise we trust.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll be talking about that next Tuesday. Can't wait.
Although,
yes, it was. I remember when he saw it, he was like, it was awful. I think Mikey and I had a conversation about that, and I was telling him, like, no. Yeah, IMAX is rough.
Yeah, again, just for those listening rather than watching, this is Mike Schramm saying Maverick and IMAX was the worst. Too loud. Yeah. Has he been excommunicated, Deej?
No.
Nothing bad can be said about Maverick. Thing.
It's Come on. But he's not saying Maverick. He's saying IMAX.
No, I'm wondering. Just kidding.
We all love Maverick. All right, let's get to your Rise.
Okay, right. Yes. So, okay, Rise of the Planet of the Apes in DTS Master Audio. I think, by the way, Deej, it's 7.1, not 5.1, and I may well have put 5.1 in the notes by mistake.
No, I think you did, and I don't know if I had a seven. I might have clicked on the wrong one. I might not have 7.1 graphic.
Yeah, might have been my mistake. But so now the reason for this is this. Viewing Buddy recently said that he wanted to see the Planet of the Apes films. No idea why. Came out of nowhere. And I was like, oh, okay. And I checked the rating. The rating's 12. So you know, should be all right. And I know these films very well, and it, but it has been a while since I've seen them. So we're going to talk hopefully today about Rise and then Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and then War for the Planet of the Apes next week. And this is an example, as I said on Twitter, of a trilogy where it gets better as it goes on. The first one's good. Second one's really good. Third one is fantastic, not just in terms of the movies, but in home cinema as well. So this one, as I said, 4K HDR, it came out in a box set a couple of years or so ago now, might have even been a bit more. And each one I thought had 7.1 DTS HD, but in fact, War for the Planet of the Apes is in Atmos, as it turns out, more about which next week. So this one is the first one then. I'm assuming you've seen them, Deej. You're bound to have done. Nope. Seen it?
Never.
Wow. Okay. So right. Well, you're in for a treat.
Yeah. I bought them right after the Batman on Kaleidoscape because Matt Reeves did the last two.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's why I think they get better, and especially the home theater part. You know how much of an artist he is for that part. So I bought them. I have them. I haven't been, this is one of those things, like, I want to see the first one so I can get to the Matt Reeves ones and everything and watch those. But, you guys know me, John knows this very well. And it's like, I love animals. I love this. And in the trailer for the first one really had that sad, like, you felt for that little, like you're seeing on the screen here,
Caesar.
And I was just like, it was just pulling at my heartstrings, and I'm like, I don't want to watch this. I can't put myself, I don't want to feel bad for the animals. I hate that. But yeah, I will get to them. I'm dying to get to them, but it's like, I say that all the time. Like, I haven't got to them, but it's not like I've sat down one week and gone, I had nothing to watch. Anybody got any ideas? I know you'll say, watching Star Wars again, but no.
Well, far be it from me.
right.
Okay. Well, it's not, I mean, you got through Guardians 3, okay. Now, if you got through with the stuff that's done to the animals in that movie, and of course they pay the ultimate price, spoiler free. But if you can get to that, if you can get through that and not be outraged, and I struggle with some of that, then you certainly will not have a problem with this. I mean, there is some, you know, there's some unfortunate conditions that these animals are kept in. However, it's about the rise of the Planet of the Apes. This is how us humans, we get our comeuppance for messing with the laws of nature. And also it's all CG. There are no real apes, orangutans, chimpanzees or anything in these. They're all CGI. And in the first one in particular, it's the effects are showing their age a little bit. So this is the beginning of this trilogy where you've got Caesar who is taken home by the scientist who's looking after them, and he develops intelligence through various means. And then it's about how that becomes the first act in what will become eventually the Planet of the Apes. And if you're familiar with the ones from the 60s, and I've got very passing knowledge of them, I think I saw them when I was very young and don't really remember them other than that they looked a bit silly. But I'm passingly aware of some of the things. These movies set some of that in place. So you get certain nods to it that you'll get when you watch it, and I won't give those away. So the film's really good, perfectly fine. It is the weakest of the three, but it's still a good film. And it ends on a good note, and there is a nice kind of progression to the story. So in terms of home theater, it's really decent, really solid movie, both picture quality and sound. The 4K is decent. It does, unfortunately, show the CGI for what it is. And this was a bit of a gamble from Fox when this came out. This is Rupert Wyatt directed this. And of course, they'd made the one with everybody's favorite Marky Mark, with Tim Burton, of course, which had come out, The Planet of the Apes, and had sort of just fizzled at the box office and was widely lampooned, I think it's fair to say. So this was a gamble with Fox, and they didn't put a lot of money into this. And I think that the CGI is showing that, and the 4K brings that to the makes that very clear. But it's still good. And it's an engaging story. The 4K looks really good. The The HDR is quite subtle, but it does have an impact. The details are there. You can see all the different fur on the apes and everything else. And there are executives in this who are wearing suits, and you can see all the different, weave of the tie and the pinstripe on the suits and that kind of stuff, which does at times become quite mesmerizing. I say that as a lawyer. So I was used to seeing suits. so that was fine. And then the audio is really good as well. It's a little bit, there's a bit at the beginning with again, spoiler free, it's a bit at the beginning where there's an incident in a lab, and then there is the incident towards the end. And if you've seen the trailers, you know that they escape at some point, obviously. Otherwise it would just be Planet of the Laboratory instead of Planet of the Apes. And so they do escape, and then that is quite well done as well. And there are some nice sequences, a nice extended sequence on the Golden Gate Bridge towards the end, where there is lots of helicopters moving around. There is gunfire. There are horses thundering across the stage, and all that sounds really good. So it's a solid, decent disc, and it's a good way to start it, knowing that there's much better to come. Yeah, and you're absolutely right, Deej. What you have kind of intuited in terms of once Matt Reeves gets hold of this is absolutely right. And we'll talk more about the second one in a minute. And it does it does move forward. It moves it on. And so the second and the third one in particular are very, very good indeed. So yeah, recommend this. And again, if anyone who's not seen it, like Deej, then, I would recommend it.
Yeah.
And, you know, buy the box set. It should be very cheap now as well. They're all three together, and, you know, give it a go.
Yeah. Yeah. I keep looking for that opportunity to get all three in. And I know, I know this is a good one. It was good when it came out. Everybody taught, I mean, nobody said, I don't remember a lot of people saying a bad thing about it. So
no.
Then they just improved from there. So I am looking forward to it. Just, I got to get to
it. I think you'll get a real, if nothing else, you'll get a real kick out of 2 and 3 in terms of how they look and sound. I suspect you'll be raving about the third one, if not the second one as well, because there's stuff in there that is, as I said on Twitter, I mean, to use the R word again, it is, we'll talk more about it next week as well, but it is almost reference. It's pretty close to it. It's fantastic. So awesome. Yeah.
Reference. There's that R word. It means different things though.
And yeah,
like for us, that's the sign of, that's a stamp of quality. This is reference.
And there's that word again, right. The Q word.
Quality. Yes. What's the quality of this? Reference level. So there you go. All right. A little teaser on what we're going to talk about in a little while. Raiders of the Lost Ark on Kaleidoscape with Dolby Atmos. And it looked really good. The 4K picture looks fantastic. Never better. Lots of detail. Bright, vibrant color. Darks are nice. But I felt like as this movie played out, it got a little bit better, but early on I'm watching it and usually I've talked about this in the past with you, Steve, when I think the last time it was like the grain in Karate Kid. You first start an older movie and you're like, well, this isn't Maverick, or this doesn't, you know, it doesn't have the same crisp punch that a 4K, a modern 4K movie has, right? Somehow they can pull it off. They did it with, Lawrence of Arabia and stuff, but this one here, the HDR, I felt like, I don't know if there just wasn't enough detail in the source material, but the darks felt like it just kind of dropped off really quickly at a certain point. So, have you ever calibrated your grayscale, Steve? Do you know
that's
what
a very
I mean?
Personal question. Yes, I have.
That's a weird pet name for it, but you know, this is my grayscale.
This is my euphemism. Yes,
that's weird.
Well, we're keeping it clean. It's even earlier in the day.
I know. Well, I don't think anybody's going to pick up on that.
That shouldn't. To answer your question, yes, I have, but not in Cinema George, because that got the last two were calibrated for me, but previously, yes, using the old,
But you know, when you calibrate your grayscale, you get all these gray bars, and the idea is to get each one to show up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And you go all the way from complete black, actually, on Spears and Munsell and Video Essential, you actually go below black, And then you try to get each one to show up. And if your settings aren't right, you'll either be blowing out at the end. And when you blow out the whites at the end, what ends up happening on the high end is those last one, two, three, four, depends on how much you're blowing it out, they'll all be the same color white. Right. Mm-hmm. And yep. you can do the same thing at the bottom end. Instead of having one, two, three, four all look different in black, they would all look the same. I felt like that with Indy, with this Raiders of the Lost Ark. And it just felt like maybe something happened there because it just seemed to drop off and there wasn't a ton of detail when you look down into a shadowy part that it felt like maybe there should be some detail there, but there wasn't because there was enough light in the room, but then it just went bang. It was a little, it still looks good because the colors look better than they ever have. Right. And I've talked in the past about like that early scene when he's in the library and they're talking and it's like, you're just, I mean, deep, rich color, detail in the different fabric of the suits. Indy's the only one wearing tweed. They've all got a different type, you know, and you can see there's lots of detail there. But for some reason on this disc, I felt, or on Kaleidoscape anyways, disc is the same pretty much. It just felt like the black level just went, you know, there could have been a little bit more detail in there. So I wouldn't say the picture was like reference level. Okay, there we go. Quality, but it's still very, very good. Better than it's ever looked, obviously. The sound, you know, ton of ambience, wind creaking, fires, fire at the 30 minute mark, the bar scene, and the wind outside on the left, fire on the right. It's like, so like you're in that cold bar there where they meet up and everything. But that was really cool. Audio did feel a little dated though. Like, I don't know if you know, when was the last time you watched this, Steve?
I've got the 4K disc. So when they came out then, last year.
Okay.
So yeah. So I saw them all then. Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like the dialogue felt dated, like more like when I say dated, like nowadays you get seamless, like sweeps, like people can walk back and forth across the screen and it doesn't feel like your sound is like dead anchored to the middle. It'll actually slightly move and adjust because that's the nature of how they mix things now. Back then they didn't have a lot of this technology. So it's like you get everything's over there. No matter where the character is, if they're on the far left, you're getting it dead center. If they're on the far right, everything comes from there where in the middle of the screen. So you're like, these two people are talking. And they'll slightly do it in a modern movie, but in the, you know, move it to one side or the other. Didn't really have that. I felt like it was a little dated there. But what I did like about that, it made me feel like I was watching Indy when I watched Indy in the theaters. You know, all of this is like, maybe I don't want it to be perfect like today's movies. Maybe I'm not asking for mono, but it felt like I was at the old cinema when I was a kid and seeing this movie. And it's like, maybe that's what I liked, or maybe that's just me putting a bright spin on it. You never know. I think you do know.
I absolutely loved how all four of these looked on 4K. These movies, one, two, and three in particular, I mean, Crystal Skull, I can take or leave, but I don't hate that. But one, two, and three, I regard as absolute stone cold classic movies. And Raiders is one of my favorite movies of all time. And it's usually up there in the top five there somewhere. Although, as I've said to you before, you know, I've got about a top 20 and things just kind of move around. But Raiders is normally up there somewhere. I love this movie. And again, the first three are very, very good indeed. I really liked how it looked and sounded when I rewatched these right from the opening, when you've got the bit in the jungle and you've got you can hear the birds and you can hear, again, you can hear
jungle looks great.
And it sounded amazing as well. It sounded like you were right there. And I really liked that. And I think it has a very, very deliberate look. Bear in mind that they are supposed to be homages to the serials of the you know 40s and 50s that of course that Spielberg and Lucas grew up with and loved so much. So that I think they're supposed to have a timeless look to them. I think they're supposed to be a deliberate type of color, a deliberate kind of texture and a sound. And I suspect, because of course Spielberg famously messed with E.T., didn't he? He changed it digitally and he took the guns away and put torches in the hands and he fiddled with E.T. And he famously has said he regrets doing that and wish he hadn't touched it. And I think that these movies have been, and again, we know about Lucas and his penchant for messing with his movies. We've talked about those as well. And so I think that these have been left alone. I think these have been left to kind of age like a fine wine, and all they've done is clean them up so that they've removed certain print speckles and everything else. And they've put an audio mix in that's tasteful, that doesn't radically revolutionize what they did on it. And I think that's what they've done with all four of these. Three of them, obviously in particular, would have been shot on film. And that's the impression I got, is that this has been remastered with a light touch. And I like that about it. I like how it's got that feel and that look. And by the way, I think that, and we'll talk potentially more a little bit about Dial of Destiny, but I think Dial of Destiny is deliberately echoing the look of these as well. Yep. So I really liked them. I was really pleased with the 4K discs of this, but everything you say is absolutely right looking on it in a modern way, looking back. But I think as a slice of cinematic history, it is exactly what you kind of want it to be, if you see what I mean. Because I think if they did really root and branch this, go back to the, you know, these are 4K, native 4K discs. And so if they went back and then completely digitally scrubbed them, I think we'd be annoyed by that, and we'd see stuff we didn't want to see. But you're right, DJ. I mean, everything you say about it is absolutely correct. But I love the movie and I loved having it in this format.
I said in my note. My notes say, like, I kind of liked it. Gives the feel of an updated but accurate to the experience, right? Yeah. And it's like that's what you want. You know, you don't want everything to be the same. You know, like we were talking about before. I do have one scene here, a timestamp, 1 hour, 40 minutes, 35 seconds. This is kind of a fun one because I actually had to hit the mute button to see what it was, because it was like, so they're in the sub bay area. Okay. Mm. Towards the end of the movie. And I think it's a crane. I'm just guessing that it might be a crane off to the left side of the room. In my room, it sounded like it was coming from right outside the left front, kind of towards the front where my door is. But it was this low, high-pitched hum, low volume. I mean, like a... And I was like... But it was so low that I was like... You ever get a noise in your head? Like all of a sudden you're like, what the heck is that me? Like, I didn't know what it was. And I was just about to pick up the remote because I'm hearing it and I'm like, it was so consistent in low volume, but high. I'm like, what is that? And I grabbed my remote to hit the mute button. And just as I'm about to hit mute to see if it was in the room or if it was me or if it's outside the room, what's going on? All of a sudden, the volume changed. It went, so it was they were lifting something, and it was the hum. And I was just like, what the hell is this? But it was so cool because I was like, it actually took me like, there's something going on over there, and I don't know what it is, you know? And it was a hum that somebody put in. And it's like, now, did the sound designer do that to mess with people like me? Like, I'm going to make this sound like it's in his head. Because it's like, I mean, it's just really cool. So that's 1 hour, 40 minutes, 35 seconds. See if you hear the whatever, like a hum. It's pretty funny. So, all right. And that's all I have on that. We'll get more to Indie in a few. What do you want to do next? Do you want to do your next Apes, or do you want to step away to Apple for a second?
We could, let's do that, and then we'll go Ape in a bit.
Here we go. There's your image. Hijack, which I found interesting. It's called Hijack. Everything says Hijack. This is on Apple TV Plus, 4K Atmos. Looks, sounds fantastic, in my opinion. But look at the title, Steve. Both of us.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Yeah.
Why do they put the dash in there?
forward slash.
Yeah. I've been corrected on that back in the day. but yeah, it's like, it's not an I, it's H Jack. Does that play out later that we don't know? I've only seen the two episodes, but
yeah. Who knows? I suspect it's to make it look cool.
Yeah, I love stuff like that.
Yeah, it's
like
this is why Seven is not called Seven, is it? It's Sev 7N.
C7N. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah. I get that one. I haven't figured this one out yet, though.
No.
But so what'd you think?
Okay.
I know. But
yeah.
All right. Let's let everybody in on.
Let's go backwards from what I normally do. You know when I'm going to have an issue with something when I start with home theater and work backwards.
Yeah.
Because I agree with you. It does look and sound really, really nice indeed. Again, it's Apple TV Plus. It would be weird if it didn't. So it looks and sounds great, albeit I think it betrays its budget a little bit. Because I get the impression this was all shot in a plane fuselage, and everything exterior is pretty much CG, other than a little bit of location work in London and that sort of stuff. Because it does everything outside the plane, all the stuff in the airport and all, it looks very digital to me. All the stuff of Dubai and everything else looks painted on. But it does, it's high contrast, but it's very detailed. You can see every little pore and pockmark again. And the stitching of the seats, you can see all that's great. The audio is perfunctory, I would say, Deej. I don't think it stands out thus far. There's nothing happened to it that's made me really sort of jump out of my seat. But it's a drama, not an action movie, I think.
Exactly.
We can say. So it services the story. So that's all fine. And it's what we expect. And I watched episode one in the cinema room, episode two front room, but for reasons anyway. So it looks and sounds great. My problem with it is, and I have seen both episode one and two, is right. Okay. Let's step back a little bit. So if you're going to make a movie, and I was talking to a mate of mine about this morning, if you're going to make a movie post 9/11 about a plane hijacking, you've got two big problems that you've got to get over before you can build the rest of the story, I reckon. Okay. The first is, how do you get into the cockpit when post 9/11, you're not allowed in? It's as simple as that. That is closed. And I've been on a number of planes where, if the pilot needs a toilet, or to have a break, a member of cabin crew, I nearly said stewardess, member of cabin crew stands in the aisle.
I nearly said it, then you didn't say it, then you said it.
Yeah, just outing myself. So a member of cabin crew stands in the aisle, faces outwards, and physically blocks the thing. When that door opens, out comes pilot or whoever it might be, and then they go back in. So that's your first problem. You've got to get into the cockpit. Otherwise, you can't hijack the plane, and it all falls apart, not literally. So that's your first problem. Your second problem then is, how do you deal with the fact that these days, pretty much all commercial airlines, certainly long haul ones, have everyone on board has Wi-Fi and can connect to anyone on the ground and raise the alert in seconds. And I think this series drops the ball on both of those straight away and blatantly gets it wrong. Where it would be very, and again, I'm going to do it spoiler free, D, so I'm not going to say why or how necessarily, because that's not fair on those that won't have seen it yet. But I think the way they cut, the way they get round that is unconvincing for me, and blatantly unconvincing, not even close. There are loads of different ways you could do this. And if we do a spoiler special at some point about it, I'll say what I came up with. But there are lots of quick things you could do to get round this and keep the story chugging along. Whereas I checked out of this really quickly when both of those things were very unconvincingly solved, in my opinion. And so that's my problem. So my problem isn't how it looks and how it sounds. My problem is how the story unfolds. And it was just so stupid, in my view, that I was struggling with it from then on. And I began to then become a bit more frustrated by it because of how it then developed. Now, John, we'll probably talk about this more next week. You, me and John, of course, well, you, John and I were texting about it, weren't we? And kind of what we were sort of saying about it. And so John had the same problems with me with episode one, but then found episode two better. And I think episode two is better. But you've still got the, and again, even with episode two, how they then resolve the issues that they've got would be done in a very different way in real life. And so it's just rankling me a little bit, but it is better. Episode 2 is better. And you know, maybe it'll disappear into the rear view or into the bright blue sky as the story, you know, moves on. But what did you think, Deej? Cause I know you're more predisposed to liking this than I am.
Well, allow me to retort.
Retort, yes.
Very quickly. Very quick answer. I knew this. I knew what you were going to say as soon as you texted me you didn't like it. Or, like, right out of it, right?
Had issues. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I said this to my wife. They're not going to show you the real way to get into a cabin. They're going to show you a certainly absurd way that you'd be like, that would never happen. Good. I don't want to know. I don't want anybody to know. I want it to seem so absurd that, oh, that's so fake. That's it. Everything you said, 100% true. Everything lined up from what happens in the airport to what happens on the plane. You're like, oh, seriously? Like, oh, wow, a gun went by. Seriously, it is. They are not, especially post 9/11, they are never going to be able to put anything on the air that would even resemble something that could be feasible. So you're asking for, like, just give me some semblance of reality. This is a reality nobody wants. So you don't want to air it on Apple TV Plus. So there's no way it's always going to be absurd. It's as absurd as a talking raccoon in Guardians of the Galaxy. And it's supposed to be. That's just it. And it's like, so once you know that, and that's why I think both of you guys, you get to episode 2, we get more into reality. You've put that stuff, you put the absurdity behind you, that this, like, how it happens. And now we get into the reality. How do we solve it? And why are we, I think you're starting to, it's starting to appeal to you, because guess what? In the towards the end of episode 2, some common sense showed up, right? And that's what and that's what John said. And you're like, wait a minute, that's realistic right there. And it, what's funny is when you pay attention to that, yes, this is spoiler free, but if you haven't seen it yet, when you get to the end of episode 2, you're going to be like, yeah, see, and look at how absurdly stupid they make everybody else in that room look. Cause one guy, he literally goes like this, and I'll pull this down. The guy goes just like this. Like, he's thinking, like, they're showing it, like, okay, we really need you have a puzzled thought. Wait a minute. You're air traffic control and you're that puzzled about what a character said that should be common sense. That's the point. And that's what, I mean, I love the acting in it. I love what Idris Elba's doing. I love, like, how is this going to work out? How is he going to, it's a very interesting take on, negotiations on how is this going to happen? It's like, I was fascinated by it. Of course it's absurd. Supposed to be, Steve. They're not going to tell you the truth. Well,
but you can have absurdity, but also have plausibility. And I don't think those are oxymorons, but they might be.
But you don't want plausibility in this. You don't want that. You do not want that. Because for two reasons, Steve. Plausibility would be like, wow, that's plausible, meaning somebody would actually think that they could do that. So that's bad because now you got some idiot that's going to try that. And two, and this is the more important one, if you even thought for a second that this stuff was plausible, would you get on a plane? You just killed the airline industry because you'd be like, that's plausible? No, this is supposed to be absurd so that you still want to get on the plane after you're done watching it. If it was plausible, you wouldn't feel comfortable getting on a plane, would you?
But they haven't. Yes, you're right. But the thing is, you see, you can't. I think if you try and walk the middle ground, so if you try and go between,
you're not trying.
But if you're saying then they're going to go absurd, then they're not going Fast and the Furious. There's not going to be a punch up on the wing of the plane at 35,000 feet between Idris Elba and the bad guy. You know, they're not, if they are, then that certainly is the whole
new. They're going absurd on strictly the taking of the plane.
Yeah. But surely you can make it relatively plausible and still not give the game away as to what they do in real life.
No, Steve. Don't you think? No, because if you did relatively plausible, you now just made it that could happen to me. People don't want to see that in this situation. You do not want to see that.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so it's not a what would you do type movie, like Knock at the Cabin Door or, you know, or Red Eye and movies like that where you, you know, where you think, I don't know. I think it does want its cake and wants to eat it as well. I think it is trying to say, look at how realistic this is and look at how I won't say grounded because
Steve,
that would
there
be
isn't,
wrong.
There isn't a realistic second there because everything up until everything on the taking of the plane is like, I mean, you can count them down. It's got to be over 20 things have to go perfectly stupid for you to be able to take this plane. I mean, we could sit down through episode one and count them out ourselves and be like, that wouldn't happen. That wouldn't happen. That wouldn't happen there. That wouldn't. And this isn't this isn't a big spoiler.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Oh, I think I mean, she went on a.
It's called Hijack. We know they take the plane.
Right. No. But I'm saying there's a scene where a character goes, I think she went on break. And they're showing you at the exact same time, the timestamp of her going on, not on break. Her shift was over. That's what it was.
Yeah.
I think her shift's over there. The timestamp was like 1937 minutes, you know, and you're like, whose shift ends at that time? And you know that the guy that's looking at it goes, that doesn't make sense. Why would anybody ever think that makes sense? But you see what I mean? Like the entire thing is completely, it's so easy to pick up. It never would have happened. And then you got, and it's done that way, I think, on purpose, because this is a highly sensitive subject. Like you can't even the running joke. And this was, we used to say this in the '80s. I had a friend named Jack and he'd walk in a room when I was walk in the break room and we'd be like, hi, Jack. And somebody would be like, don't say that in an airport, which you literally couldn't say. And that was in the '80s. Now you're going to make a movie on Apple TV post 9/11 called Hijack. And you think that they should go for some semblance of reality on how to do it? No.
But there is a middle ground. You can get there without giving the game away, I think.
Yeah, it's not giving it. That's a small part. I think the bigger part is if you give them that middle ground, you've just made a large segment of the population very uncomfortable about getting on a plane. If you thought for a second, you know, like a lot of your horror movies, Steve, if those were so grounded that you thought when you stepped outside the door, you thought that could happen to you, you wouldn't step outside the door. That's the idea of it. It's supposed to be absurdly, this can't happen to me. It's a horror movie. This is a joke, right? Like in a horror movie, they make commercials about it now. Like, oh my God, run away. Let's go into that shed over there with all those metal tools. You know, it's like, why don't we just run away? You know, like that's horror. It's absurdly stupid that they're in that situation. Same thing here. It's absurdly stupid they're in that situation because if you gave the reality, either A, the movie, the show never happens, or B, they just showed you how this is plausible and you're like, oh my God, I'm not getting on playing again. That's crazy. So.
Yeah. It's interesting to talk about it, isn't it? Yes. Again, I wonder what Carl Ellsworth would say about it when, of course, bearing in mind he wrote Red Eye. And I wonder, and that I think is a what would you do movie.
It's it'd also be interesting a horror, to see
what
his take
on that. Yeah. It'd be interesting to kind see what he makes of that. If you're writing it, what do you steer clear from and what do you run towards? When you're dealing with a plane. Again, that was made.
I'd be willing to bet Carl would say this. I'd be willing to bet like Carl would write this as realistic as he could. And then the studio, we gotta change that. Whoa. What are you doing here, pal?
We like this idea of the fight on the plane on wing at 35,000 feet. Let's have that.
That's more realistic. That's what we want people to think is going to happen. Right. It's like,
I mean, if we're talking about realism with this, the guns as well. I mean, you can never fire a gun on a plane either. You do that, then that's going to go very wrong.
Well, I won't get into that, but it's, I mean, I like it. The sound of it. I know you said it's not home theater wise, but dialogue, super crisp, super great. I mean, Apple is, the picture looks fantastic. Early on scene, and you've got Idris Elba coming at you on that like walkway, escalator walkway thing. Mm-hmm. And the way they lit him from behind, like the lighting from behind, it's like he's got this glowing outline. I mean, that was as close as I've ever seen to legit 3D. Passive 3D. It's just the way the separation, the HDR, the way it handled that. And he's just standing perfectly still. And, you know, and he's just standing there, you know, moving towards you. But you were like, oh my God. Like, I felt like I could reach out and be like, oh, that looked awesome. Awesome. And then there's a whole bunch of other stuff too. So, really good. Really good. So,
yeah. I'll be curious again. It'll be fun to revisit this with John next week and see kind of whether we had the similar issues as well.
Yeah. Look at us. We got 20 minutes.
No, I know. Sorry.
No, I don't care. This is great. I'm like, I don't know if we'll get, let me bang this one out really quick. Yes. This is what yesterday. T2. No, I swear to God, I'll be super quick with this. Everybody knows I could go on forever. I probably will go on forever some other day. I had an absolute blast with this. I did not take notes. I ended up going down a rabbit hole comparing T2 to the 4K, to the special editions, to the Blu-rays and all of that. And I got to tell you, no matter what anybody says, the 4K isn't perfect. It has some issues image-wise, but it's the best quality that we have right now of this movie, and it's amazing. I had a blast with it. Absolute blast. Always will. I'll probably be breaking down. So I saw some scenes that I want to do whole podcasts about, and it's just like sit down and break down this, you know, 45 second scene and just do it. But I love this movie, and it was so much fun. And reading the stuff on Twitter yesterday, because it was the anniversary date, 32. You know, years ago yesterday. And I was like, ah, so good. So, but yes, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about that at least for a brief second. So Terminator 2 Judgment Day, if you don't own it and you never seen it, I don't know what you're doing listening to me. Go watch
Remedy it. That immediately. Yes.
Yes, exactly. You want to, pop through? Here we go.
Yep. Duh. Okay. So this is our next Apex extravaganza. So this one then is Dawn. Forgive me, of the Planet of the Apes. Yeah. Dawn.
That's what happens when they don't put the title on the, oops. Sorry about that, buddy.
You're right. That's okay. So this is Rise of the Planet of the Apes. So the sequel then, obviously Rise being the first one. This is Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Sorry. In 4K HDR. And it is again in 7.1 DTS HD master audio, not 5.1, which again, I may well have said. So this is the sequel. This one now then is directed by Matt Reeves, who does this one and the next one. And this has got a ratio shift from 2.35 of the first movie to 1.85 for this one. And it is fantastic. It's really, really good. A really good movie. This is how to do a sequel. And both the home theater audio and video are top notch as well. So this takes up place about 10 years after the events of the first one. Again, spoiler free, things have gone very wrong, as you can see from that image. and the apes are now in control of a large wooded area just in the Muir Woods, of San Francisco. And, you've got the human population who have got in San Francisco and then other parts of the world. And it's a really interesting movie about the rush to war. This idea that you've got two opposing sides who are trying to live together, and there are parts of this community in each one who want war, and the all out rush to actually trigger this war. And so it's really interesting. It's a really well told story. And then you've got the huge action sequences as well that then take place when the war begins. And it's very, very good indeed. And you've got some fantastic shots at the beginning of apes hunting in the woods. And then they sort of come from right at the very back of the screen, and they come forward past both your ears, and then into the distance as they're swinging through the trees. And it's got, it's just a really clever soundtrack as well. So the CGI on this is top notch. They've done a lot of work on this. So it looks really, really good. Again, there are no real apes. Everything is CGI, but they look great. sound great. This is very, very good indeed. So this is the first one, Deej. When you watch this one, this is the first one you'll be like, wow.
Wow.
And then you'll just be itching for the next one. Yeah, that's the word I would use to describe it. It really is very good indeed.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, wow. So yeah. It's well worth it. It's really, really good, this one. And again, it is better than the first one. And then the third one's better than this one. Very, very good indeed. And you've got, you know, jungle foliage, and it's raining a lot because it's obviously San Francisco. And so you get all the overhead effects, you get all that sort of stuff. And I have been twice. So you get all the lovely surrounds and the atmospherics and everything else. It's really good and great gunfire. And you know, I'm a fan of that.
So yes, that's you good are.
Too. Yeah.
And accurate. So it's very cool. You love yes. accurate. Any yeah, Gatling
and
guns?
And it's pretty good. No, unfortunately, but there are some fairly high powered weaponry in this.
Okay.
So yeah, I think you'll really enjoy this one. And I'm sure most people that have seen it, you know, think the same way. So yeah, it's very cool.
Cool. Looking, like I said, looking forward to it.
Mm.
All right. The moment that we've all been waiting for, right? We're down to this. This is it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know,
let's do it.
All righty, here we go. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Density.
Yeah, so Back to the Future joke. Like,
I was like, another call back to the 80s.
Yes, indeed.
And I mean, well, hey, we're, you know, Back to the Future, Dial of Destiny. What are we going to do? So, yeah, was this shot in Spain? What'd you think of it, Steve?
Well, lots of The Last Crusade was shot in Spain. Anyway, so was Raiders. Anyway, in Almeria in Spain, which is not far from where I lived as well.
Actually, before we get to the movie, let's tease the listeners a little bit more. Talk about where you saw it. Look at this.
Yeah. So this is I sent these pictures. I thought you'd be a bit sort of quizzical when you got them, thinking, what the hell is Steven sending pictures of a theater? So this was a tiny little, sort of compact cinema where I was over the weekend. And, it's very, very, strange little place. You can see how many seats there are. There's only sort of about, 50 maybe, give or take.
Do you notice the color scheme on the walls? Yeah, same as mine.
Yeah.
And I have a red stripe instead of red seats. But yeah,
there you go. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they've got, and you'll notice there are noise absorption panels on the walls as well. So yeah, it's a tiny, tiny little cinema. And, I got to see the film on my own in C24. So it's the third row back, right in the middle, completely on my own. It was like a private screening. It wasn't, but it was, if you see what I mean.
Nobody else is in the room. Just you sitting
a single person
in this room.
Yeah. That was just me. It's not fantastic. Dolby Atmos. Notice there are no speakers in the ceiling. First thing I looked for, tiny little surround speakers, as you can see, that look like the kind of stuff that I had in the, you know, when I first had my cinema.
So you got four surrounds back across the back.
Yep. And right? then sort of, yeah. yep. And then sort of, I think it's two or three up the sides. But again, it's not Atmos. It's only, it is only in what I imagine is 7.1 maybe.
Probably. Yeah. That whatever upmix to the.
And what's interesting is during the movie, there are a number of occasions where characters look up at what should be sounds overhead and you just don't get that.
Oh,
so that was fun. But it was a fun experience seeing this movie in this little room. It was almost home theater like. Almost, because what that doesn't convey is just how small this thing was. This could easily have been a home theater somewhere else, you know, with home, but with theater seating rather than the, you know, the bigger things that we're used to. So it was a very interesting experience, rather fun. So that was good.
I thought it was interesting they put the aisle right where prime seating would have been. Like, why don't you just squeeze everybody in so that in the, you know what I mean?
It's like, a bit strange. Well, you are in the middle. If you sit to the third seat along, and that picture there to the left, third seat along, so seat 23, you are right in the middle of the screen. Bizarrely, the screen is slightly skewed to the side of the room. So it didn't feel like you're off to the side. Unless, if you sat to the right there, that would feel weird.
But they have people up against the wall when you could have moved those in tighter so that you just go down the sides of the wall and you have to scooch in. But yeah.
Yeah. It was strange. It genuinely was like a home theater experience. It was really, really strange. But there we go.
There you go.
So there we go.
Dial of Destiny.
Density.
Density. Yeah.
Are you going first or do you want me to go first? What are you doing, Deej?
I like when you go first so that I can give you the positive side, but No.
Okay.
Well, no, I'll go first if you want.
But yeah, go on. Go for it. Yeah, go on. You can go on.
I loved it. I love the feel. I can't wait to get this at home. I love the story. I think I said to you guys, spoiler free, I said some stuff I can't say here, but I love the ending. I was on the edge of my seat. I don't know if that's because I'm an idiot or what, but I just, we could talk about that later when everybody has seen, had an opportunity to see it. I loved it. Absolutely. I just felt like from the beginning, I was just like, it was, especially since I had come just from watching, I literally finished Raiders right before we left. And I was like, oh, this is great, which kind of did pay off big time. But there's, you know, nice callbacks. But I thought it was a more modern version. This is where they took today's technology and they made an Indiana Jones movie. And I think it just, it shines in every way. Fantastic CGI in this, in my opinion. And I don't want to give it away because it does, you got to see it to believe it, but it is that good. The artist in me is going, man, how they're doing it. I see what they're doing here. I see what they're, and they're manipulating stuff to, it creates a dynamic to certain scenes, but it also allows them to do more than they should be able to do. I mean, it's just awesome. That the CGI in it. I thought all the characters, I was engrossed with every single character. You're like, oh, who's this? But what's this? I was rooting for everybody, all the good guys, that is. it's just like, you know, Nazis and snakes, right? It's like, why are there so, you know, always Nazis or snakes? I hate snakes. It's just great. It's, I don't know what else to say about it. I can't wait to get it at home because I think that the image that we were seeing in my theater that I go to has updated their projector. We've got a new, they've got a new laser projector. Looks fantastic for this theater. I know they've updated their sound. Every movie I've seen there, they're doing the Dolby Atmos opening now. So I don't know if they've just recently updated their sound, but they're doing the all the way around. It's all the stuff we saw years ago when it first came out, but it's like it feels fresher and newer here because they hadn't played in a while. I think they maybe were laxed over the last few years, but it sounds good. Looks fantastic. Sounds really good. Looks really good. Still not as good as home, but I mean, it was a great experience, and really looking forward to the home release. Now you can retort.
Well, I don't need to because you've pretty much said everything that I would have said as well. I really, really enjoyed it much more than I feared I might because I'd seen some of the reviews and I'd seen the it had a very lukewarm reception at Cannes and there was the feel that this was going to be another Crystal Skull and it was just not going to work. And that seemed to be floating in the air, which I was, and I had that in my mind when I went in to see it. But I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was great from the opening. The first 20 minutes are absolutely barnstorming, exactly what you want. By the way, looking at some stuff I've seen over the weekend, not all of that is CGI. There are some very clever makeup effects being used in some of that as well.
There is.
As I was watching it. Yeah, I thought it's all CG, but actually it's some of that is makeup as well, which is incredible.
And we'll talk about it later, but off air, but it's combination. It's all that. And that's why it's fantastic. It is absolutely fantastic.
And so that was really good. The story rattled along. I enjoyed all the characters, even Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who can be a little bit irritating in some of the stuff I've seen her in, was really good in this as well. She was sparky. Mm. She was what you wanted to be. So she was really good. I thought it was great. And again, I think it did aim to, as we said earlier with Raiders, I think this does aim to look like a movie in that time period and of that time, which is not something that every movie does. Some of them would just try and make it look really modern and just kind of, you know, just put them in suits and have old fashioned cars. This, I think, absolutely tries for a timeless, classic, you know, adventure movie. And I think it succeeds. I think it looks great.
This movie goes further back than Raiders did.
Oh, it does. Oh, it certainly does.
It goes further back in time to when we're seeing it, right? So Raiders was 81. Yeah. And I believe it was, 36 Raiders took place in.
Okay? Yeah, well Temple of Doom is a prequel. Like
what's that?
Yes, so Temple of Doom is a prequel.
But I'm just saying when Raiders of the Lost Ark came out in 1981, right? That was the first Indiana Jones movie. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that movie, when it came out, we all were like, wow, 1936, that's so long ago. You know, like that's 45 years difference. This one comes out in 2023 and is in 69. Mm-hmm. And you're like, that's 54 years ago. Yeah. They actually flipped the numbers. It's crazy. That's 54 years ago. And I'm like, oh, that doesn't seem that long ago to me. Isn't that crazy?
But they've tried to make it look like almost a movie shot at that time. I think there's been a you know, if someone had cameras back then, they've tried to sort of shoot it that way, and also make it look like Raiders, Last Crusade, and Temple of Doom as well in how they've shot it. The color timing is really trying to evoke that, I think. And then you get your third act, which we're not going to talk about, and then the very last bit, which again I'm not going to give away, I absolutely loved how it ended. And again, I talk about big dopey grin, but I absolutely love the last sequence. The last scene is absolutely fantastic. And whoever wrote that, and I looked at the credits after, there were about five writers on this, but whoever it was that wrote that scene, take a bow. I mean, that was absolutely fun. I love that last, the way that ends is great. And any indie fan, no matter what might've gone before it, you know, should love that last bit. Because that was great. I really, really enjoy this. I'm with you. I would have this at home tomorrow. I can't wait to see it in Atmos because I didn't. And as much as I enjoyed the little compact and Bijou cinema I saw it in, because it was just quite fun. I can't wait to see this at home and to be able to watch it and rewatch it and just soak up the whole thing. It's great. So yeah, very, very pleased with this. And again, I would say to people that have read the reviews that are a bit reluctant because it hasn't done terribly well in its opening weekend, don't be put off by it. If you're an Indiana Jones fan, make some time and go and see it. And hopefully you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully. Hopefully.
No refunds, but you know.
No. Yeah. I enjoyed it. I loved it. Can't wait to get it at home. I think it's going to be a fun disc to revisit.
Well, hopefully we won't have to wait long. I'm hoping they'll do it like Disney will do it, the way they do their Marvel movies. It'll actually only be a couple of months and then we'll get it. I hope. We'll see.
Yep. Yep. So, all right. That will do it for the home theater experiences. Let's get right and bang out these 4Ks. What's coming up next week? Boom. There we go. All right. Let's bang these out. Maybe we'll have time to get to listener experiences. So first up, After Hours from 1985 is getting this is Criterion. So that's getting a Criterion 4K release on Tuesday, July 11th, the 4K releases. So then we also have from 1981, we have The Burning. Have you seen that?
No, never like even heard of it.
Yeah, I feel like I remember it. I don't remember it, but I feel like I've seen it. So when I was a kid, probably on HBO or something one night. Also, this, here we go. What's this? Six?
Stream Six.
From this year, we've got a Steelbook and a standard release. 4K release. So we got those images. Pretty cool. I like the Steelbook image. Ghostface.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be picking this up for sure. Looking forward to watching this again. Yeah.
Well, this will be good. So don't forget to grab this one then. But you already have it though, don't you?
Not in 4K. I don't. We don't get it until. Not until the end of July. I think I've got the screener, but not the proper disc. It's not out here. The thing with this though, Deej, do you know if it's in Atmos? Because there's been some discussion is that it might not be.
Really? Yep. Yeah. No. No. Yeah. It's 5.1.
Oh dear.
English 5.1, native 4K, but yeah. English 5.1. So you are correct, sir.
Yeah, you've got an Atmos on your Kaleidoscape.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay. That's not good.
No, that doesn't.
But the English release is coming from a different studio there. We've got it from Studio Canal, and there's some suggestion that might have the Atmos on it. So we've sort of got fingers crossed for that, but we will see. Yeah, it might be a kind of reverse Cocaine Bear thing.
Yeah, this is Lionsgate. So
yeah, that's they normally love Atmos.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very strange that they haven't done that. I wonder if they've licensed it.
They're all different, you know, just like Kaleidoscape gets you get to do what the studio wants you to do, you know, and if they don't okay it or maybe they just don't pay the licensing. Maybe, I don't know, you know, it's, I know in Kaleidoscape's case, it's, they just get what they're, you know, they don't remaster. Some of these other places do, like Arrow and stuff. They'll remaster stuff, which is basically put it through and turn it into an Atmos container. So, that's my theory. I'm not saying that's what happens. I haven't heard anything like that. So got to be careful. But yeah, so this one, Sisu coming, July 11th, also have Invaders from Mars from 1953. You're shaking your head, Steve. You haven't seen this one?
No, not sure I'm going to either.
Yeah, but it's a horror.
Yeah.
Is
it though?
You are correct. Well, for its time.
Yeah, it looks like sort of Roger Corman sort of thing.
Yeah. Also, from here we go with the Mission Impossible 5 from 2015. And then we also have Mission Impossible 6 from 2018 coming on Tuesday, so the week that those movies are that 7 is releasing. So that will do it for 4K releases for this week for July 11th. So all right, what do we get? We got 2 minutes. Do we even want to attempt?
Should we save them?
Yeah, because you and I'll get into one and they'll be here until next year's 4th of July. Especially you and I. We need John to pull us back.
Yes.
Yeah. So, it's been a busy week. It's been a busy day. It's the 4th of July. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, in a week within a new Indiana Jones film, we're lucky we didn't just do 2 hours just on that.
I know. Yeah, I actually, Steve, thought there was a chance we might go short today. What was I thinking? What was I thinking?
You have met us before, have you?
Yes, I have. I have. Well, yeah, you joined the show as our European correspondent for a 10 minutes every week. Yeah. And I think the first couple were like 20 to 30, but there was 30 minutes and maybe 30 on each end or an hour on each end. We're like, let's just get them on the show. Yeah, thank you everybody for your, I have a whole bunch of responses here. I have listener experiences. I'm up to, I got Mitch, Steve, Blue, WV, and IKH House, Danny, WV again, Jonathan, Tom, Blue, Mike. Yeah, all a whole bunch. Keep on going. So yeah, let's, we'll save those for next week and, maybe we'll be able to discuss more of them next week. But, I think everybody's happy with listener experience, our experiences this week. So. Next week, maybe, you know, I'll have a little bit more information. You've seen anybody have a Yeti?
Ooh, I saw some this weekend, actually.
Yeah. Yetis?
Yeah.
Can you read that?
Talk about the experiences.
It's all about the experiences.
Oh, it's all about this. Oh, nice. Nice. very cool. Right.
We will talk about that next week too, maybe. Yeah. So, all right. Thank you everybody for watching, listening, streaming, participating in the chat. We had a bunch of people in there. So Paul, John, TJ, Mike, John against Scruffy. Pretty cool. Thank you everybody for coming out, chatting away. Mark was in there. I'm sure people have popped in and out as I scroll back. It's the 4th of July. Be safe. Have a good time. Keep all your fingers. And we'll be back next week. But I, especially if you're still listening right now, live stream tomorrow night, on Brightside Home Theater, on AV Nirvana. Todd and I, we're going to break down a whole bunch of stuff. It's basically Todd and I getting together, and I can't wait to hear his ideas on reference. So we got a live stream tomorrow, another Takeover Tuesday next week. So everybody, thank you everybody for listening, playing along. Steve, thanks for being here. John, hope you're having a good time. Hope you're not sick of hot dogs just yet. But we'll be back next week. Thanks everybody. What are we gonna do?
Go push play.
What he said.
And he's not even here, but he sounds glorious. Have a great week, everybody.
Cheers, guys.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.